It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're going to talk about cannabis and CBD. And, ooh, can I get high? That would be great. Joining me today is the co-founder of GHE, Jennifer Beck. So welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, so many states are at the very least legalizing medical marijuana, including Utah, where I'm from, which I thought that'd be the last state ever. But they legalized it a couple of years ago. And we just opened up our very first medical marijuana shop about 2-3 weeks ago. So it is happening pretty much across the U.S. So I do want to talk a little bit about that. But even before all that happened, what's coming out, all these products that say CBD on it, which is a product of hemp and marijuana, but it doesn't have the effects to make you high. So can you tell us the difference between cannabis that you smoke or put in the brownies to have a fun brownie versus what CBD is?
You are hilarious. Yes, absolutely. So CBD comes from the cannabis plant, the cannabis sativa plant. In licensed cannabis dispensaries and grows, which is what we see popping up across the country on a state level, cannabis is grown with any level of THC, as well as other cannabinoids like CBD, CBG, CBN. There's actually hundreds of cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. CBD is one of the ones we're really interested in. THC is another one, and THC is the one that gets you high. In 2018, we passed the Farm Bill, and the Farm Bill allowed for industrial hemp to be sold freely across the country without needing to be licensed on a state level. So it was a federal law. And this said that as long as the same plant, the cannabis plant, is grown with less than 0.3% THC, it would be classified as industrial hemp and could be sold nationwide without restriction or regulation. So when you're seeing CBD companies popping up across the country, they are deriving their CBD from industrial hemp and are able to sell it nationwide and across state lines.
Sometimes I get the distinct impression that a lot of products are being marketed as CBD, but they may not have much in there, or they're just, you know, glomming onto this latest craze, kind of like gluten. Like gluten-free, everything was gluten-free. Well, sugar is gluten-free. It doesn't make it healthy for you. So how can we distinguish between true CBD or good CBD products versus bad CBD products?
Fabulous question. So there's a few, everything you're saying is correct. And there's a few different perspectives on this. Not perspectives. There's a few different ways that I'd like to look at this. First of all, is in terms of products that are hopping onto the craze, but don't actually have CBD in them. One way that skincare cosmetic companies do this is by marketing hemp oil. Hemp seed oil is not the same as, and this is a very nuanced, so it's easy to trick the consumer. It's not the same as phytocannabinoid rich hemp extract. So you can get a hemp seed oil out of the hemp seeds that is incredibly nourishing for skin, and it's absolutely fabulous. But hemp seeds have been sold at, you know, natural grocers forever. They're just a great nutrient rich food. Phytocannabinoid rich hemp extract is when we extract the cannabinoids like CBD out of the hemp plant. And that's when we're able to say this product has, you know, 250 milligrams of CBD. So that's one area where we see people marketing products using the hemp terminology where you might not actually have the cannabinoids you're looking for. Additionally, we have a company, because CBD is not regulated. So cannabis, the licensed cannabis dispensaries and grows are heavily regulated. Hemp licensing, the plant is tracked from seed to sale every step of the way and reported to the government. mandatory lab testing, packaging, everything about it is a really rigorous process. CBD is the opposite. It's completely unregulated and it isn't regulated by the FDA and there's no oversight. So you have companies coming out saying, here's a CBD oil, here's a thing. And you have no idea if what they're saying is true. And you have no idea how that CBD was grown, extracted, processed. One thing we learned during our experience in the cannabis space is that when you extract the cannabinoids, when you extract THC to put it into like an extract or an edible, you're also extracting a lot of the components of the plant that it was used to be grown. So pesticides, chemicals, residual solvents of the actual extraction method. So the idea of like this homebrewed CBD that's created in a non-regulated way, those are products I would stay away from. You don't know if there's extra additives and you don't know if they're clean and if they're safe. And then the last piece is you were saying, you know, the proliferation of CBD companies and the quality of CBD out there. So assuming, you know, okay, we are very clear about we have CBD, here's the type of CBD in our products. It's clean, it's lab tested, top level manufacturing standards. Okay, now if all those companies are sitting in a room, what is the difference between what you're buying? And what we did at GEHI was we really believed that CBD is an amazing hero ingredient. It does awesome things for the body, but there's ways to formulate it in synergistic formulations that make it much more impactful and much better to use. So a lot of the companies out there are buying from the same white labeled manufacturers, the same lotions. Everyone's buying it and putting a label on it. And it's kind of a junky lotion with a bunch of CBD shoved in. Our concept was different. Proprietary formulas filled with active ingredients, beautiful to use. Now we add high quality CBD, and this is a product that's going to deliver for you. And that's kind of, you know, the top maybe 5% of companies out there now are hitting all of that criteria.
Let's say I've been getting that junk lotion because it said CBD on it and it's got to be good for me. And a bottle cost me $15. What is your bottle going to cost me?
Our serum is $55 a bottle. And our serum, though, I really believe, and the numbers have backed me up in my research, that it is a $55 serum without the CBD. So our serum is hyaluronic acid, vitamins B3 and C, aloe, camellia, hemp seed oil, that great oil, rose oil. It's organic ingredients whenever possible. Now to that, we add 250 milligrams broad spectrum CBD, which has amazing benefits for the skin. So you're buying a serum at a great price for a serum, and you're getting the added benefit of CBD, not just, you know, gas station gummies. How much CBD can I get in my body?
Those gas station gummies are great. Now, I actually did. My mother had been complaining that she wasn't sleeping very well. And so I did find after doing a bunch of research, melatonin gummies that also had added CBD to it. And she swears by it. She says ever since she started taking it, it's been great. Now, would just the melatonin alone have helped her? I think it would have. I'm not sure, but she wouldn't have taken it if it hadn't said CBD on it because she was a flower child back in the day.
Well, I have something that we need to send to your mom. Our oral CBD. And our oral product is a daily CBD tincture, but it's a sleep promoting tincture. It has 750 milligrams of CBD in the bottle, which is about 25 milligrams a day. And it's the same kind of concept. We have a synergistic blend that helps you relax and fall asleep. And then you use it over time and it really does help improve sleep quality. So ours has a little bit of melatonin, skullcap, chamomile, California poppy. And a tincture is the most effective way to take an oral CBD. If you eat like a gummy, it needs to move through the gut and the digestive system and you lose some in that process.
Well, let's talk about, because CBD just seems to be this, it treats everything. Oh, you have a sore back? Take CBD. You can't sleep? Take CBD. You can't think very well? Take CBD. I mean, what exactly is in CBD that makes it good for everything according to a lot of the packaging?
Such a good question. It feels so phony. How can one thing address all these different issues? And here's the deal. There's a difference between topical and oral CBD. So our body has an endocannabinoid system. Endocannabinoid means that they're the cannabinoids that are found naturally in our body. Our body naturally produces cannabinoids. The primary one being anandamide, primary one being anandamide, which is a Sanskrit word for bliss, because it was identified as this bliss molecule. So the endocannabinoid system is found in almost every major organ of the body and seems to relate to homeostasis and maintaining balance in various systems. So that's why it impacts so many different elements of the body. What's important to recognize is that there's a very big difference between topical and oral CBD. So some people, there's kind of this myth that CBD skincare isn't effective because it doesn't make its way into the bloodstream. And that's true. Almost none of it makes it into the bloodstream. What people don't realize is that there's an endocannabinoid system in our dermal, in our layer of skin, in our the dermis of our skin, there is an endocannabinoid system. And CBD interacts with that system to help regulate oil production, increase skin cell turnover, reduce inflammation. So it's fabulous for acne, breakouts, and the symptoms of many skin conditions like eczema or psoriasis. So it's not going to cure those things, but can really alleviate the symptoms and the reactions that we see and that aggravate the skin.
I would just say, I think people, if they're interested in going this route in seeing if CBD helps them for whatever condition that they're trying to treat, is do a lot of research and make sure you find a company that that is legit.
Absolutely. Find a company that is legit. And, you know, one thing that we offer on our website in our journal section is we have these downloadable bullet journals, which allow you to just kind of make these little bullet points throughout the day. And as you're adding in our products, you can see how mood, energy, sleep, skin, these different things that our products are targeted for, you can watch your dosage and see how it's working for you, because it is trial and error. We don't have formal studies. We have animal studies, and then we have a lot of anecdotal evidence, and we have some research into how the endocannabinoid system works. But understanding how that impacts each person on an individual level is still something you have to go through. So finding a company that's in partnership with you to understand, first of all, are you taking the right kind of CBD? There's, like I said, there's topical CBD. If you want to take oral CBD, that's interacting more with the endocannabinoid system in the brain and the central nervous system. So that's why sleep, mood, appetite, memory, all of those internal systems are more affected by an internal CBD, like an edible or a tincture. So understanding your goals and being sure that you're incorporating it into your lifestyle the right way. If you have anxiety and you're like, I'm going to try CBD because I heard that could help, and I put on a lotion, there's not going to be a benefit. We don't know the impact of CBD on anxiety, but a lot of people seek it out to help themselves chill out. If that's something you want to play with, definitely you want an oral solution and you want a company that works with you to manage how it's working.
I think the thought behind that, the anxiety part, is because when you smoke marijuana, there is that chill out factor for most people. I mean, sometimes it has the opposite effect every once in a while. But the marijuana also gets you high. So I think people think they can get the relaxation through CBD without that high feeling. I think that's, and I'm not saying it works or not. I just think people see that it works in cannabis and the hemp works in one way. Why wouldn't it work in another form the same way?
I think that's absolutely correct. Yeah. And I think it's a really big mystical plant with these hundreds of cannabinoids and these amazing and crazy effects, both recreational and therapeutic. And there's different effects, whether it's the cannabis plant in a licensed dispensary that has a high THC content, if you're eating it, smoking it, applying it topically or with a patch, there's a whole different set of impacts that's going to have on the body. It's the same with CBD. But CBD does seem to offer a lot of the therapeutic benefits without the high, which many people find attractive. But now it's about finding a trustworthy company, working it into your routine. It's not instant like smoking pot. It's something that needs to be integrated into your lifestyle for a couple weeks, you know, up to a month before you're really experiencing the recalibration of that endocannabinoid system and figuring out how it's impacting you.
And my research shows me that when you do find the legitimate company, you will most likely be paying a bit more money than you would for the one, like you talked about, like the lotion that was just really cheap lotion, but then they just threw in a bit of CBD into it. That is going to be a lot less expensive than if you actually get something that's high quality with every ingredient that goes into whatever formula that you have.
Absolutely. I mean, this was an industry that kind of popped up overnight, and you have some major manufacturers and you have a lot of opportunists that say, I'm going to get a CBD brand out there and I'm just going to pick up on this wave. And so it's about making, you know, the cheapest product and getting into as many hands as possible. And then as the industry has matured, you know, it took us 2 years just to do the R&D for our products. So, you know, it's only been legal for 4 years. So when you start looking at companies that have been more mindful, have more of a long-term approach, aren't looking to just cash in on the CBD craze, but are looking to, like for us, we're really developing a wellness company. And this ingredient is a cornerstone for us. But the company is so much bigger than that. And so you have the integrity of the products and you're paying for just a real skin and body care product like you would pay at a department store. If you start playing this milligram game of I saw 1500 milligrams in a lotion at a gas station, why doesn't yours have that much? First of all, do you even know if you need that much CBD on your body?
Right,
you know,
right.
I don't know if you do. And second of all, you know, all the stuff in that lotion might make your skin inflamed, might not be good for you. And then third, it might not be enjoyable to use or help you much beyond some of these surface level CBD elements. So beginning to see the emerging businesses that are really tackling this next phase of wellness with a lot of integrity is a great way to hop in on the craze in a way that's much more long lasting with better results.
All right. We do need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to go into that hopping on that craze and opening up my own business. What do I need to do that? So we'll be right back with Jennifer Beck. She's the co-founder of GP.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show because it affects your life in any way. Money-wise, we're talking about it. And today we're talking mostly about CBD, but we're going to go a little bit into the cannabis and the medical marijuana thing, especially because, hey, Jennifer Beck, my guest, she's a co-founder of Jihi. She's already opened up a company that sells CBD products, but I want in on this. I bet I could make a fortune, especially if I do the medical marijuana dispensary. Ooh, so help me. What do I need to do?
So first of all, talking about licensed cannabis businesses, which you know, are legal on a state level, either a dispensary, a grow, or an edible manufacturer, those are really specific businesses to get into. So there's huge licensing fees you really need to be prepared for. The thing that people need to understand about licensed cannabis businesses is that because they're still prohibited on a federal level, they're impacted by this law called 280E. And 280E came from the 80s, the war on drugs. And it was when a convicted cocaine dealer tried to deduct business expenses from his taxes. How cocaine dealers are paying taxes is beyond me. But they basically created a law that said, if your business is selling a controlled substance, you don't get to deduct your business expenses. I guess these guys were trying to deduct, you know, yachts and all sorts of things from their, I don't know. But that law is still standing and it's heavily enforced against cannabis businesses. So cannabis businesses are not able to take deductions like a normal business would. And they end up paying, you know, up to 70% tax rate. I mean, it's really very challenging to be profitable.
Wow.
It crushes a lot of the businesses. So you've got these intense licensing fees, these heavy startup costs of, you know, beginning either a grow or a brick and mortar retail. And then you don't get the same federal assistance. So cannabis businesses really benefited over the last year from being, like here in Colorado, we were an essential service, which was fantastic and fantastic for revenue, but they still didn't get any of the loans or support from the government that other small businesses were getting. So,
well, yeah. So know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah, I've done a ton of episodes on PPP loans, you know, if you're a small business. So if I was operating a cannabis or a dispensary shop, I could not have gotten a PPP loan?
From what my communications in the industry, the people I've talked to, no one was able to access those loans.
Wow.
Even though it was named an essential service. And so that was beneficial from, of course, a revenue perspective, but still, yes, no loans, no support, and the enforcement of 280E. So the combination of factors on top of this, There is no banking. So the number one push that I think needs to happen legislatively is the Safe Banking Act, which has passed the House but not Congress. And cannabis businesses need access to banking. I mean, they're all cash and it's all private investors, which is really, really, really limiting for most people that want to get into the business. So you have a lot of issues with access to capital.
Right. And I do need to, just so my listeners understand, because I have a worldwide audience, and in the United States, because marijuana has not been legalized on a federal level, that's why it's cash only, because you can't do credit cards or, you know, go into a bank and deposit money that into a federal institution from products that you got that are considered illegal still on the federal level.
And that's the problem. And okay. There are some small banks and credit unions, you know, that are more friendly to the industry and try to work with people. But in general, you're not going to be able to work with regular investment firms, banks, loans.
All right. So you've talked me out of being a dispensary. What about your line of work, where I actually just have products that have CBD in it? Is that have the same strict type of licensing?
No, it's much better. So there's no licensing. 280E does not apply. And you can sell, you know, e-commerce, you can sell online. So you're not limited to brick and mortar locations. You can sell online. You can sell to retailers. So like as a company that produces goods, I could sell it to a major retailer. But here's the problem. We as a CBD company have much more flexibility in terms of our banking, but there's still a little bit of being cannabis's stepbrother, stepsister. So it's federally legal, but banks are still really unsure about it. So everything that we do is considered high risk. It's high risk payment processing. So instead of paying 2.5%, we pay 5%. It's challenging to get a loan. It's just more challenging and more expensive. So because we have specific payment processing, we have specific insurance that's 6 times more than it would be for someone else. We are set up as a high risk business. But if you go to Macy's, they're not set up as a high risk business. So most major retailers and advertising platforms are friendly to topical CBD, but anything oral, it becomes more challenging, especially the tinctures. A lot of major retailers don't want to touch it because they're not high risk.
This is slightly off topic, but if marijuana and CBD are both derived from a hemp plant, why don't hemp seeds get you high?
So what gets you, so it's the cannabis sativa plant grown with almost no THC is the hemp plant. The THC that gets you high is part of the flowering process. It's a byproduct of the flowering process.
Okay.
That you have these THC, like these crystals, these trichomes on the plant itself. And that actually has to be decarboxylated. There needs to be heat applied for it to be activated as a psychoactive substance. So that's why if you were to eat a bunch of marijuana plants, you wouldn't get high.
Okay.
You would get high if you smoked it. And then that decarboxylation process happens when they create edibles or things that you eat.
Because you heat it up. Oh, that makes sense. Okay, just because I have been using hemp seeds in my morning smoothies for like 15 years. I love, and I'll just eat hemp seeds on their own as well. They have this wonderful nutty flavor and the texture as well. Anyway, what if I wanted to start a CBD product shop, what are some of the things, would I have the same startup fees as any other type of business?
So you'd be looking at, you know, product development. How are you sourcing it? You know, the same regular fees. Additional fees to a regular consumer good business would be, like I mentioned, you know, business insurance can be, ours is about 6 times the cost of normal yearly insurance. Payment processing fees to take credit cards are double. So you're kind of looking at these extra fees across the way. Additionally, there's a lot of walls to CBD companies. So you have less access to banking. You have very little access to advertising. Facebook, Instagram, Google Ads, these ad platforms that e-commerce businesses run on are forbidden for CBD companies. We're not allowed to make ads.
Wait, why?
It's like Zuckerberg law. It's the choice of the advertising companies. It's a Zuckerberg choice. It's a Google choice. And I really am holding out hope that if we have some progress on the Banking Act, that maybe these advertising companies will loosen their restrictions. But that's a huge, huge challenge. And additionally, you're looking at, if you want to be a top tier company, you know, a high integrity company, you're looking at independent lab tests. So in cannabis, that's required, but in CBD, it's optional. You do want to always buy from someone where you can scan the code at the bottom of the box and look it up and see third-party lab tests on their website. We, of course, have that for everything we sell. So, you know, we do third-party testing throughout the supply chain. And then I think that's, compliance, legal and compliance. So, you know, as a CBD company, you're kind of in the middle of this. It's not an FDA regulated product yet, but the FDA is watching really closely. And so you want to treat it, depending on what you're making, like a cosmetic or like a dietary supplement. And each of those types of products have their own compliance regulations that are really strict when you're making your packaging and how you describe your labels, your ingredients. And so we invested heavily in attorney fees during that startup phase as well.
Is there anything else we know? Well, I'm sure there's a ton, because when you start up a business or get into business, there's just so many avenues. But what are some of the major things that we might need to know if this is an avenue that I may want to go into and start my own business?
I think recognizing that the walls are real in terms of advertising and reaching customers. You have limitations in terms of how you can work with retailers, and you have limitations in terms of how you can reach consumers direct to online. So really understanding that and being prepared to deal with that is really important. I think it's an incredibly full market. There's a lot of CBD companies. Now, there's a lot of CBD companies that are all the same. And so there's a lot of room, I still think, if you want to do something interesting, if you want to make, you know, like us, products where you have other active ingredients and they really synergistically work with CBD or other cannabinoids in an experimental and interesting way. I think there's a lot of room for growth in the industry, but that is more expensive when you're investing in R&D and formulations than just buying a white label off the shelf product. The market's really saturated in terms of that stuff, just getting in with CBD and making it as cheap as possible.
Oh, yeah. I see it everywhere. In the grocery stores, every time a catalog that has any type of health products, it's CBD, CBD, CBD. And you're just like, how do I know that this has enough of the CBD in it that it would actually do any good for whatever ailment I'm trying to fix? And how do I know the rest of the ingredients are quality ingredients?
And that's the biggest hurdle, I think, in the business is just, it's almost just getting people to listen, because everyone is so overloaded and tired of the CBD thing. I'm tired of the CBD thing. I mean, you hear someone, I'm starting a CBD company. It's like, okay, you just hear it all the time. And it's so everywhere that it's easy to tune it out and not really engage, even though most people still don't really understand, will it get me high? What does it do? Is it snake oil? How should I take it? So the first barrier is really just moving past that initial resistance to more CBD and engaging and really being able to explain how it works and why, and then demonstrating the value of your product. So I think that market overload on top of the advertising barriers is the biggest challenge, you know, for new businesses.
All right. And if people want to find some of your products and the whole line that you have, where should they go?
Yeah. So our website is jihi.com, J-I-H-I.com.
J-I-H-I.com, jihi. And you were telling me earlier that's a Japanese word?
Yes, it's the coolest word. Jihi means compassion. And the first symbol, J-I-G, means spread joy. And the second symbol, hi, means to ease pain. So we love this idea of compassion with ourselves and compassionate self-care as a way to spread joy and ease pain for ourselves. And then that becomes reflected to the world around us.
Wow. Well, that is so nice. Well, Jennifer Beck, you are the co-founder of Jihi, and I've learned a little bit, and I may have to rethink if I really want to open some type of pharmacy.
You posted.
Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.